Well, hello again. Let me pray, and I will go into our last discipline. Father, Lord, we thank you for carrying us through thus far. We thank you that you are speaking to us in all the things that we do to chase after you and to seek you out in our lives. Father, we pray that you'll reveal yourself to us today, challenge us as to how we can seek joy in you in our daily lives. And we pray all these things in your precious Son's name. Amen. Well done, everyone, for making it through to the end of our series on spiritual discipline. Hopefully, after these 9 disciplines that we have been talking about, you will be able to train yourself up a little bit more in how you are able to grow yourself closer to God. Now, some of you have fed back to me, some of the things that you have tried, some was helpful, some not so much, which is fine. God has made us all different. And so these disciplines may suit some of you better. But this one, this very last one that we're getting to today, the discipline of celebration. It's one I think perhaps is the most personal to me and one I enjoy the most. Firstly, this discipline is one I really needed when I read that chapter in Foster's book. It was as if like a key unlocked something in my heart and told me that I was free to celebrate who God was and what he was doing around the world. And secondly, celebration is just fun, isn't it? Who doesn't like and enjoy a good celebration, to cheer and to shout at something that's exciting around them, to point out something that is great that is happening, to be part of something bigger and greater than themselves? All of us probably enjoy a good celebration of some sort. But of course, just because it is enjoyable doesn't mean that it is necessarily right or even helpful. What's wrong with an impersonal faith within us? Can't we just show up every week and read our Bibles and give when we can and serve when we need to? Isn't that enough? Now, I want to preface everything today by saying that faith is enough in your journey with God. In your salvation with him, your relationship with him, all you need is his grace. If you struggle to celebrate, it doesn't mean that you're not a believer. But I would say that if you don't celebrate as a believer, you are missing a crucial part in your daily experience with him. Why is celebration important? Why should we practice this discipline in our spiritual lives? Because I believe that it is firmly encompassing in the entire biblical narrative. From the very beginning of Genesis, we see God celebrating his creation. 7 times he pointed out how good it was what he has done, how he's put order into the chaos of the world. And at the end, that very last day, he says it was very good. It was as if God was pointing out and saying, look how good it is the work of my hands, how I was able to bring meaning and purpose into chaos and disorder. And even when Adam and Eve came together, when they were created by God, the first thing that he said was, this is now the bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Man and woman joining together in a celebration of a wedding. The very first wedding in history. And on the other side of scripture, we see in Revelation, the overarching image, despite all the battles and stuff that is happening, the overarching background image is one where God is enthroned in heaven. All creation and all of God's people is bowing down to him, celebrating the triumph and the sovereignty of God. And at the end of 21, we have another wedding. But this time it is the church and the people of God being depicted as the bride, a beautiful bride who is coming to be with God for eternity, dwelling with him and being in his kingdom forever. From beginning to the end of scripture, encased within it is all a big celebration of who God is and what he has achieved. And of course, celebration is central to Jesus' mission on earth. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. His message is one that brings joy and freedom. A news that brings those who are oppressed and poor to a new phase of their life, one that is enjoyable with God. This is not just news that he brings, but a good news, a wonderful news, news that brings joy and hope to all who will receive it, news that is truly worth celebrating. And Paul tells us this joy of believers is one that marks himself out as a believer. To be growing spiritually will be to grow in their love and joy. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones goes so far as to say, we must so live that they will be compelled to say, I wish that I could be like that. I wish that I could live in this world and go through this world as that person does. When non-believers look at the lives of a believer, they should wonder what that joy is within their lives. Whether we go through life experiencing the world in stresses and challenges as the world it does, or the way we celebrate in joy no matter what we may face, and look to the goodness of God. This difference is the way in living which will demonstrate what kind of God we believe in. Celebration shows the world that we have a God who is worth celebrating. And ultimately, celebration is the thing that strengthens our faith. Nehemiah, back in the Old Testament, after they returned from exile, they rebuilt the walls around Jerusalem. And in what was probably a New Year's Day celebration, they began to read the Bible and celebrated what was happening. And Nehemiah said to them, actually it was Ezra who said to them, that this day is holy to our Lord, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Celebration in this new year with God is to find their joy in the Lord that has given them this opportunity, that has carried them through in exile and now allowing them to reestablish in Israel. Richard Foster, who literally wrote the book on spiritual discipline, puts it this way. Celebration brings joy into life and joy makes us strong. It is celebration that leads to joy in our life, which then in turn strengthens our faith. When we find the joy in our Lord, we're able to continue on and following him. That even though there may be challenges, it strengthens us as we celebrate who God is. See, but I think for most of you, you'd probably not need convincing that celebration and joy in your spiritual life is worth pursuing. You know you want joy in your relationship with God. Even if you are not a believer today, you will probably desire some form of joy in your life, to celebrate things that are good and great. After all, we all want a life that is worth celebrating and things to get excited for, a desire and a deep sense of satisfaction and fulfillment in our lives. But sometimes, it's just not so easy to celebrate, is it? Sometimes it might even be difficult. There is difficulty for us as a people to point out things that are great. For some of us, it might not be a very natural thing to be joyful or to point out things that are great. In fact, I think for some of us, it is easier to be critical, to point out at God and say, look at this and that. Why isn't that being fixed? To be focused on things that aren't going well, or to be down when things are not as good as we imagine them or want them to be. To be discontent and wish for more. To have a life that is different to the way we imagine it to be. When times get tough, it is easy to ask, where is God? When is he going to intervene? When is he going to help? When is he going to fix all these things? Is he really there? Life, after all, goes on day after day after day. It can all get a little bit samey, after all. For us who've been Christians for a long time, even worship and church itself can become a little bit routine. And then when we come across people who are very passionate about their worship of God, and they get excited in the way they worship, the way they speak and act, we can even get a little bit skeptical. We can wonder, is this real? Is it really possible for people to be that excited for their faith and that joyful in celebrating their relationship with God? And of course, some of us just don't feel it. We want that feeling of celebration and joy in the Lord, but we just don't have it. We want it, but we can't grab onto it. Now, of course, I'm not suggesting for a moment that we should somehow just pretend or put on a joyful appearance and act excited. But I think there is a common misconception for believers about this desire for joy, about what it looks like or how it is that we achieve this joy in our Lord. For I believe it is not something to be obtained in itself, but it's something for us to find in God. See, I think it's paradoxical that the path to joy is not actually in seeking or trying to grasp at joy itself, but in looking to the object of our joy, which is God and Jesus himself. It's like when you're trying to sleep. I'm sure most of you would have experienced this, and you're struggling, you can't sleep, and then you start thinking, oh, there's all these things happening tomorrow, and I need to fall asleep. But the more you think about it, the harder it is to fall asleep. And you start becoming stressed and more, and then next thing you know, it's getting late. So it is with our grasp for joy. So it is with our desire to chase after our desire to be celebrating God's presence in our life. When we focus on grabbing onto joy, it becomes elusive. But when we look to God and treasure him and all that he is, he in turn pours out his joy into our lives. By looking to God, he is the one who will provide us with that joy. It's as like Isaiah says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. We, each and every one of us, was created to celebrate in his glory. He is, after all, is what is going to bring us that joy and sense of celebration. He is the very reason we will celebrate. And that's what the discipline of celebration really is. It's not a grasp for joy or just chasing after it, but a recognition, a desire to praise God's glory. Sometimes I think we get it backward when we think that it is joy that leads to our celebration, that we need to wait for us to feel it first before we can celebrate what God is doing. When in fact, through our scripture, it is celebration that leads to joy. It's an active and deliberate decision to point and say, look at what God is doing. Look how his glory is at work in our lives. Look how wonderful and how beautiful he is in us. Then the joy of our Lord follows into our hearts. To celebrate is to ultimately see God's glory. To choose to see and notice God's glory in us and in the world around us. And when we start looking, we start seeing there are so many things worth celebrating. That we see his glory first and foremost in the salvation on each of our souls. That he clothes us in his righteousness. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For believers, we are declared holy, forgiven, and accepted in him. Daily, we can rejoice and turn to him and celebrate because we are saved in him. This is such good news that it should never, ever get old. We live in a 24-hour news cycle where yesterday's news on Sydney Morning Herald or wherever it may be gets old and, irrelevant almost the day after. But it's not so with the news of God. The good news of Jesus is same and good every day. Daily, as I am reminded of my own sinfulness and imperfection, daily I am renewed in my thankfulness for him. And of course, we see his glory in the promise of a new and eternal life. Just as the women who saw Jesus resurrected, they were afraid and filled with joy at the same time. That roller coaster of emotion they felt as they see Christ defeating death and coming back to life, to learn that he has risen. And for believers everywhere today, we too celebrate in this hope that there will be a new and eternal life, whatever we may face in this life today and tomorrow. We too look forward to a new resurrection with him. That when we are that day, when he returns and calls us home to him, we will be part of that great wedding of joining of the church as his bride and with him, and to be with him forever. Oh, what a celebration that day will be. And of course, when we see and look around the heavens and the creations around us, we see his handiwork all around us. We look up to the countless stars in the night and we see that God has intentionally created each and every one of them. He knows them by name. He's intricately and interconnected all the things that are around us, nature and all its signs and chemistry, perfectly balanced, working together constantly all the time. How wonderful and marvelous and how good God's celebration of his creation really is. And of course, we see his glory in the works, in the lives of those. We see his glory at work in the lives of our fellow believers as well. Just as Paul looks to those around him in their obedience and rejoice because of them, we too look to those around us and see God at work in each of other people's lives. And it also brings joy to us. Sometimes it is much easier for us to see God at work in other people's lives. Like when we celebrate our baptism, which will happen in November 27th at 3 p.m., by the way. Yes, that person who is getting baptized may have committed their lives to Jesus a long time ago, and we may see signs of God, you know, working in their lives, but I can't see into their hearts. But when it comes to baptism, I can see that this person is one who has committed their lives to Jesus and is saved by God. This person's baptism may have absolutely nothing to do with me, but how wonderful it is to see God's glory at work in that person's life. To see that it's not by their own will or their own works that they're saved, but by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit. To see that this person is now secured and assured in him. God in his glory is always at work in his people. To see a young child passionately singing and dancing in Sunday school, or to see an elderly person still trying to follow God with all their lives and hearts after decades and decades of following him, or to see someone who is sick, suffering, disabled, or even dying still continue to trust God. In every single believer, we see and know that God has done something absolutely miraculous. To turn sinners to him, to change their fate for all eternity. And we celebrate and rejoice in that. See, the reason I think for our lack of celebration is not that we're not feeling joyful, but it's that we're not seeing God. We as a people of God need to practice celebration. I don't actually remember where I read this anymore, but I might have dreamt it. Joy doesn't just fall on our heads. It's not something that we just run into on the street and happens to us. But it takes deliberate practice. Celebration, after all, is a discipline. Left to ourselves, we will often credit, you know, ourselves for any blessings that happen to us. Or we may just put it down to chance or coincidence that these things are happening. Celebration is a decision to point out and to acknowledge God and all his glory. It is an intentional decision to see God at work. And these are some of the things that I think are helpful to help us to celebrate. I think first thing we need to remind ourselves is to be mindful of our prayers. If our prayers only consist of requests or asking things of God in help or something, then I think we're missing a very crucial component in our prayer. As Paul says in Philippians, you know, we are, yes, to bring our prayers and petitions to him, but he says very clearly that we're to do that with thankfulness as well, to see what he is doing at work in our lives. In our prayers, we're to acknowledge daily his blessings, in ourselves, in those around us, and in the world as well. It pains me when I pray with a fellow believer and we ask, you know, what can we pray? What can we thank God for this day? And then they say nothing. How could that be? How could it be that we have nothing to thank God for? The very breath we draw at that moment is from God. The fact that we can pray together and be together as God's family and brothers and sisters. The opportunity to study and to work and to be here are endless reasons for us to be joyful and celebrating. We are to be a people of prayer, thanking God for what He's done for us. See, Satan would love for us to believe that there is nothing to be thankful for, that there is, he's not at work in our lives or anything. Because as we looked at before with what Foster said, if celebration brings joy and joy makes us strong, our lack of celebration will make us apathetic, and apathy will make us weak and ineffective. If we don't regularly turn to celebration and look to what God is doing, we may start to believe that he's not at work at all. We may start to believe in Satan's lies that he's not with us and that his glory is not present. If you regularly pray with a group of people, whether it be your small groups or friends or family or partners, make it a point to celebrate what God is doing in your lives and around you. To encourage each other to see him and be filled with his joy. And of course, then we need to be alert. It's as if we need to turn on some sort of like a God radar, or to be like a detective, to kind of look around and see where God is at work. And when we start paying attention to those things around us in our church or in our own lives, we actually start seeing that God is constantly at work around us. Through all times, everywhere, he is bringing about his goodness. That despite the brokenness and the sinfulness in this world and in ourselves, God is still working his miracles day after day. And of course, our celebration is not to be enjoyed alone. We are to speak it out in an effort to spur one another on. Celebration, like joy, is infectious. The more you celebrate, the more someone else celebrates as they share and enjoy that joy you're experiencing. When you see God at work in someone else's life, don't just silently enjoy it or be like thankful for it. Tell them, encourage them, and say how great of a job they're doing, but also how great of a job God is doing in them. Because they may not see it for themselves. They may not understand that God is at work within them, and they need you as your brother, as their brother and sister, to point it out to them. Celebration is something that God has given us in order for us to enjoy him and to see him at work. For some of you, this idea of celebration and seeing God is very difficult. I don't want to underestimate that this is something that is natural or comes even easy for some of you. You may have been experiencing a long period of your spiritual darkness, or perhaps even depression. Of course, if it is physical or mental health related depression, I'm obviously not qualified to speak into that, but I encourage you to talk to a GP or a counselor and to seek that medical help for that physical side. But with spiritual discipline of depression, if it is spiritual depression that you are struggling with, a prolonged period of feeling distant from God, that you may believe in him and what he has done for you, but it's hard for you to see where he is working in your lives. Let me start by saying, firstly, that your distant feeling does not mean that you're not a believer. If you believe in Jesus Christ and what he has done in your life, in his saving work on the cross, that is enough to secure you in him. His grace is enough to carry you through despite what you may be feeling emotionally. But second, let me say that you are not alone in feeling this way. In fact, the Bible is littered with people who are suffering or suffered spiritual depression. If you read through the Psalms, David is constantly struggling with his spiritual depression, of wondering where is God is and when is he going to pull him out of his pit. Micah 7 is a picture of spiritual depression as he wonders what Israel is doing. Elijah, Job, Moses, Jeremiah all struggled in asking, where is God? Asking God to end it all for them. Even Jess has had her own periods of struggles of up and downs. I myself, 10 years ago, struggled for close to 12 months of this spiritual depression, being stuck in a haze of darkness, unable to see or feel God's presence. But like Jess, like myself, like the people throughout Scripture, God eventually pulled us out. He eventually revealed his glory to us, and all the more. Sometimes God calls us to be patient, to continue to seek him in prayer and in his word, in the fellowship of other people. Just like the words of David, he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand on. You are not alone in this spiritual journey. You have your church family around you to encourage you on. Keep going and continue to seek God. You may not feel it at this stage, but God is still with you. He continues to be speaking to you through the Holy Spirit and through other people as well. And God has promised that he will carry us on and lift us out. This may seem like an odd note to end on when we're talking about the spiritual discipline of celebration. But no matter how we may feel, as we talked about, it is not our emotion that dictates our celebration in the Lord. And I firmly believe that Jesus' faithfulness is enough to carry us on until the very end. It may be a month, a year, however long it may be, I don't know for you. But he will deliver you, and he will lift you up as he did David. And even now he sustains each of us, that we can celebrate his faithfulness to us. However we may be feeling, Jesus' words still rings true. For Paul, in his state of weakness and struggle with Satan, Jesus said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Even the Apostle Paul himself struggled with spiritual depression and wondered when Jesus will lift him out. Even in our own weakness and in our own struggles with emotions and feelings and you know, connecting with God, when the war seems to close in around us and this sense of darkness may overwhelm us, Jesus says to us, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough for you. And that's worth celebrating. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you know where we each are with you. You know what is going on in each of our hearts and how we are feeling towards you. Lord, we ask that you will be helping us to be a people with a spirit of celebration. That you'll open our eyes and our ears to be alert to what you are doing in us and around us. That each morning as we rise up, we will see how your glory is at work, how your goodness continues to persevere and to work in this world. That despite what we may feel, that you are a God who is worth celebrating. That you're a God who is bringing your goodness into this world and in each of our lives. Lord, we pray that you'll guide each of us. wherever we may be, wherever our journey may lead us. That even in times of darkness and struggle, we will turn to you and say, come and see what the Lord has done. Open us to you and your joy, that we will treasure you in our hearts. We thank you for being a God who is worth every bit of our celebration. Amen.